All right, let's fire up a big talking travel with Sally Lucas, our travel guide. Who, Sally, look flustered. You got a couple of minutes. You can relax. G'day. Welcome.
I'm here. I made it.
Now, you're basically pointing the finger at me for today's episode.
Well, I am, because was it last week or the week before we talked about events around the world?
Well, the last time I was you, probably, because it's been a couple of weeks.
So, and you said, now, how about you talk about what's on in Australia?
All right.
Well, so, that's what we're going to do.
Sally, the Festivals of Oz. Let's just spin the wheel and see where we land.
Let's do it. I'm starting with January, and I know January's past, but these are events that happen on an annual basis, so they're not just one-offs. So,
sure,
I'll start with the year with a bang and start with January. Of course, tennis. I mean, we all know the Australian Open tennis is January. Of course, you've got all the lead-up games in the other cities around Australia. If you happen to be in Adelaide or Brisbane or wherever you're having those lead-up games, Sydney, etc. And you know, we all know you see the crowds at the Australian Open. It's a packed house all the time.
And a bit of celebrity spotting as well, you can quite often find.
Well, it is. And I think why it is such a popular tournament is its location, because I remember we went once ourselves, or we've been a couple of times, but not in recent years, and we had a big chat to an American, and his son wasn't quite good enough to ever get into the, you know, the international scheme of things, but they just followed the games all around the world. And he said it's the only tennis court close to the city in all the world games.
Oh, that's a big tick, isn't it?
You know, yeah. So he forgot a cardigan or something, so he just walked back to the hotel in between games and walked back to the...
There you go.
So, you know, that's why I think it's not... I mean, obviously it's a great tennis event, but I think that location is so important, it makes it very accessible for people to get to the courts.
Oh, that's a big win for them, right?
It is.
There.
Yeah. Now, the other one that we have in January as well is the Santos Tour Down Under Cycling, which is a great cycling event over 10 days that goes all through areas such as the Barossa, the coastal area of Victor Harbour, pardon me, the wine region of McLaren Vale, etc. In Perth, you have the Rugby Sevens happen at that time of the year in January. And then there's not much else happens in February, I guess because it's such a hot time of the year. I mean, they've been questioning for a long time, haven't they, even the tennis, because they can get on court into 50 degrees there in that enclosed stadium.
It's crazy, isn't it? But I guess as well, you've had stuff in January because people are on holidays and they can do things.
Well, that's the whole thing.
It's kind of, you get out of Australia Day, then we're kind of like the year kind of really starts.
So yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
That's why.
Yeah. So March, of course, as you know, which we're coming into now, or we are into now, should I say, you've got the wonderful Formula One Rolex Grand Prix in Melbourne, which is usually around that third week of March. This year it's 21 to 24 March. Also, you've got the PGA Tour of Australasia. Of course, a lot of it is across Australia as well. That's in March, various dates, you know, throughout all across Australia at different destinations. You just need to go onto the website for that to check, you know, where those places are. Even in remote courses, they are Mornington Peninsula and all sorts of lovely places. Now, also, you've got coming up the World Surfing Championships. So Bell's Beach, as we all know, is a famous world surfing event in Victoria, and that's 26th of March, the 5th of April, and from the 11th to 24th of April, you've also got the wonderful Margaret River Pro, and, of course, that's a stunning event as well. Now, I never knew what, when they printed it, it's just LIV Golf, and I thought, what's LIV Golf they keep talking about? It's actually Roman numerals, I found out when I've researched. So it's L... 1B.
Oh, is that, what, that why they've gone that way?
It's 54 in Roman numerals because it has 54 holes that you have to play. There you go. Who knew that? And that's the 26th to the 28th of April. I had no idea. Of course, the AFL starts off as well, which is fantastic, in April. In May, I remember our son was up there in Kununurra, right up that top part. We've got the Ord Valley Muster, and they reckon that is incredible. And that goes from the 17th to the 25th of May this year.
Yeah, once you get into those very unique country-type festivals, they just have a vibe all of their own.
They certainly do. State of Origin, we all know about that. I don't need to talk about that.
Three footy games. Then, we know it. We know the wrong.
Yeah. Then another one, you'll probably like this one too, Mark. The Fink Desert Race, which is in Alice Springs in the Red Centre, which is an off-road, multi-terrain, two-day race for bikes, cars, buggies, whatever. You go through rugged and remote desert country, and so it's real adrenaline-seeking stuff. That's the 7th to the 10th of June.
There's no ringing the NRMA for a flight.
There, absolutely not. Darwin, you've got another motorsport event there, which they call the Triple Crown. Byron, and that's from the 14th to the 16th of June. August, we've got Hamilton Island Race Week at the Whitsundays, which is a gorgeous part of Australia, 17 to 24 August. AFL Grand Final in September for those that follow AFL. City to Surf Marathon.
You probably knew I didn't.
I know, and I don't either, but that's okay. I can see the athleticism and everything there, but I don't follow it. City to Surf Marathon's August 11 this year. September, now this would be something that's always been on my bucket list to do. I will do it one year. The Birdsville Races.
Again, one of those just outback type of events.
6th and 7th September. We've got the Repco Bathurst 1000 in October. You've got the Gold Coast 500 as well in October. And then, of course, Melbourne Cup, we all know when that is, in November, the first Tuesday of the month. The Adelaide 500's also in November. And then, of course, what do you have in December? Start of the Sydney Hobart Yacht Race on Boxing Day, plus the Boxing Day Cricket Test match in Melbourne. So, look, that's obviously not all of the sporting events, but that gives you a pretty good idea that we've got most events covered in most areas.
It's a lot of the bigger ones and a few of those, shall we call them, bespoke festivals.
And the other one, of course, is that Big Red, you know, that they do out of Birdsville, that big music festival that's just grown and grown and grown, you know, so that's amazing as well.
Our travel guide, Sally Lucas, looking at the festivals of Oz today, and you've done the sporting ones for us, Sally. Well, let's look at some of the other art and culture type ones.
Definitely, like we've got so many festivals from music to literary to food and wine, and we'll just go through a few of those. So I'll start with Melbourne. They have a music week August to September 2024. Exact dates haven't actually been confirmed yet, but just keep that in mind. But they also this month have their fabulous food and wine festival, which is outstanding, 15 to 24 March, if you happen to be in Melbourne over the period of this time, or if not, of course, next year. And they also have the World's Longest Brunch and Lunch, two massive three-course undertakings across 600 metres of table.
Of course they do.
And then in March, of course, they've just finished Moomba, which is on at the moment.
Don't hear too much about the Moomba Festival.
No, you don't, do you anymore?
Yeah.
It used to be just the real big thing, like Matara here.
Well, yeah, is that embarrassingly? I don't even know that that's
I didn't even look that up, but to be quite honest, but it'd be interesting if someone knows if that's still running. Now, Sydney, we've just obviously had the Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras, which has just finished. There's also a lovely one in Sydney called Harbour Life, where they do all sorts of things there with dancing, you know, to all sorts of international artists, etc. You've got that wonderful Sydney Harbour backdrop, and you know, and again, that's going to be November, but dates to be confirmed. We've got Vivid Sydney, and of course, as we know, how wonderful that exhibition is. With
an amazing light festival, isn't it?
It is absolutely fantastic. That's on 24 May to 15 June. In Perth, I'm just going through cities here, they have their festival, well, just the Perth Festival, which has already happened, which goes every year from February into March. It goes for about 4 weeks, that one. International Jazz Festival, it's supposed to be October, November, but again, they haven't got the exact date set for this year. Brisbane, they've got a World Science Festival that's just about to start on the 15th of March this year, and they also have their own city festival, like most cities do, which will be from the 31st of August for 3 weeks. And again, you're getting all sorts of things happening there with, you know, day life, night life, multidisciplinary art installations, music, theatrical performances, etc., etc. Adelaide, which is happening at the moment, which starts, again, it runs for a month from February into March, is the Adelaide Fringe Festival, but incorporated into that, they also have just the Adelaide Festival, and also they have what they call WOM Adelaide, which is the World of Music, Arts and Dance, and that's on at the moment as we speak. Plus they do Tasting Australia, which is in May, and that's another one. It's a 10-day long, it's an Epicurean homage, they say, to local gastronomy. So, yeah, that's really incredible, showcasing some of the South Australian finest wine and food. Canberra, they have a comedy festival this month, which I have seen once, which is spectacular, is the Balloon Spectacular. All these balloons rising over Lake Burley Griffin. It's often a bit of a foggy morning and you see them all going through the mist, and the colour in the sky, the shapes of the balloons is quite spectacular. So that is on at the moment as well.
And you'd think the comedy festival, though, is a bit of a strange place. They're very, very serious types down there.
I think some of the politicians are a bit comedic in some of their...
they just let loose. And...
Yeah. Hobart in December into January each year has their Taste of Summer Festival as well, which of course is showcasing their wonderful Tassie food and drinks. They've got a lot, not just wines down there. They do a lot of whiskey distilling and gin because it's considered one of the best places in the world for purity of water, which of course is used in making any of these. Yeah. And then they've got Mona Foma. That was February this year. Now, they usually have the Dark Foma, but it's not happening this year. They're having a break, and that's usually their winter festival. So that hopefully will be back next year. And then they've got the Festival of Voices, where they have people singing from individuals to choirs to everything you could name from the 28th of June to the 7th of July. Now, the Darwin Festival, I've been to that a couple of times. It is absolutely amazing. The actual multicultural, you know, level that Darwin has with all the people that live there from different nationalities, and they get some fabulous artists in, and they usually have either Blanc de Blanc Encore or the Spiegel Tent, and they have all sorts of beautiful food stalls with lots of beautiful Asian cuisine on offering, and that is a fabulous festival as well. Now, we did mention earlier off air, I forgot that one, was the Big Red Bash, which is that music festival in June in Burnsville, in July rather, in Burnsville. Broome too, they've got what they call Shinju Matsuri, which is the Festival of the Pearl, which, of course, with the old pearl divers and everything, which is how it all these people came across from Asia to here, which is August into September. And don't forget, you've got that wonderful spectacular, the Stairway to the Moon. So that's whenever the full moon is, all the way from March through to November. And you go there, and the way the moon lights up on Roebuck Bay, you get almost like the little ripple in the water, so it looks like you're walking all the way up to the full moon.
It's how cool
just,
is that?
It is absolutely spectacular. Mm. Not to forget us, we've got Surf Fest on at the moment, which is a big thing. We've got April, which is Food Month, which has been going for a few years now, which is great. We've got the Writers' Festival in the 5th to the 7th of April with some actually brilliant writers coming. I was looking at who's coming the other day, so have a look at that if you're interested in the Writers' Festival. And then we have the Fabulous Music Festival from the 8th to the 23rd of August. Everything from opera to jazz to modern to you name it is occurring over that period of time. So look, whatever floats your boat, and that's not everything, as I said before.
No, it's just a start, and like I said, there's so many different things there. I mean, a lot of different tastes to cover. Bit of a heads up to the Writers Festival you mentioned. We'll actually be broadcasting live from that
lovely.
Well. So we'll be able to listen out for that. More details in the weeks to come. We're wrapping things up with Sally Lucas, our travel guide for Talking Travellers, doing a pretty smash-up job considering Sally still down to one wing there. You surviving all right?
Oh, just. I can't wait to get out of this damn thing, but that's all right. We've got over 2 weeks to go.
How's sleep time?
Don't talk about it. Please.
All right. Well, we'll do some hot deals instead for those looking to do a bit of travelling right now.
Yes, absolutely. Hurtigruten, that wonderful company that you love the name of.
I love the name. I'm sorry, it's the name.
No, you love the name. Book by 31 March. Anyway, you can get big savings up to 20% on their expedition cruises to Antarctica, Iceland, Greenland and Galapagos. Plus, they're also going to give you a Euro $200 onboard credit. So that's not bad, is it? And they've also got the same if you don't want to do the winter thing, if it's not your thing, if you want to see the midnight sun and do the summer thing where you've got sun 24/7 virtually, you can do that as well. And they're offering a similar discount if you fancy the summer period rather than the winter period.
I don't know how people live. Like, to me, that's a strange way to live. That's not because we don't have it here, but getting an hour or 90 minutes of darkness.
Darkness. I know. How do you get to sleep? Obviously, you've got to have very good curtains.
Thick curtains.
Block out. Absolute block out. Now, Viking Cruises have got a range of fabulous cruises happening at the moment. If you book by 28 March, they've got an incredible cruise that's going into Singapore, which is a fascinating city in its own right. And they've got a couple of voyages that do, including Bangkok, Bali and beyond, another one that includes across the Bay of Bengal. But several of their ocean voyages visited Singapore, and for a limited time as part of their Explorer sale, you can get up to $3,000 flight credit per couple when you book a 2025 or 2026 ocean voyage. So it's, you know, looking ahead, so it gives you plenty of time to plan, as long as you book before the 28th of March. So that's not bad, is it? That's a good saving.
Exactly.
And also there are savings to some of their other destinations, up to $4,000 per couple on a 2024 ocean, river or expedition. So that means you've still got discounts available for this year until sold out, which is till 28 March. And obviously you'd need to check with your agent to see what has still got vacancies left on it. Now, there's some to Greenland, there's some that do Paris and the heart of Normandy, Mediterranean Odyssey that takes in Tuscany, there's one doing Japan. So it's quite a variety of destinations you can follow to do that. So that's Viking. And then you've also got Carnival Cruises have got a special offer that has just come out where deposits, they've taken 50% off, so you only pay a much lesser deposit. And you're also getting an onboard credit as well with that one, but you've got to book by 21 March on a whole range of Carnival Cruises. Now, if you've never thought of going to Turkey, but it's on your bucket list, they've also got, there's a lovely, with Beyond Travel, there's a lovely tour of Turkey with a saving of up to $500 per couple on any new bookings made between now and the 18th of March. So you don't have as much lead-in time with this one. It's called Majestic Turkey, Marvellous Turkey and Charming Turkey. There are 11, 14 and so on, different durations. But you include, the highlights will include, for example, the stunning lime cascades of Pamukkale, Gallipoli, of course, the crystal waters of Fethiye, of course, Istanbul itself, and you do a balloon flight over Cappadocia as well, included in that. So there's still lots out there, Mark, particularly for the forward years. There's more limited availability for 2024, as you can understand, because everyone is travelling. And as I mentioned also recently, we're hopeful that by next year we should see airfares becoming more competitive again since COVID.
Well, it would be good. I mean, and there had early, late last year, a whole lot of hoo-ha about, you know, how we don't have, well, not as many airlines being allowed into our airspace.
I know.
So there's all of that.
We're still, Qatar still wants more, but we haven't let them increase their capacity yet. But certainly with Turkish Airlines, and they've won the Skytrax Airline of the Year. Turkish Airlines, and people may not know much about Turkish. Everyone thinks, oh, it's going to be Singapore Airlines or Qatar or Etihad or Emirates, the airlines I hear more about. But, you know.
But you hear more of them because they're here.
But they fly here.
Yeah.
Exactly right. But, yeah, Turkish Airlines, I mean, have a look at their fares, have a look at their route. How nice to go via Istanbul to wherever else you're going in Europe and experience whether you want to get to Gallipoli or whether you just want to experience the beautiful coastline. I mean, there's lots to do in Turkey. There's a whole range and gamut of things to do. So, yeah, that would be a fabulous, you know, I think, option, just a different way of getting into Europe rather than just through the Middle East or through Singapore.
All right, Sally, that's it. We're going to call time on it today. Thank you for your presence with your still hurt one arm. Only a couple of weeks on that to go.
Only a couple of weeks.
All right, Talking Travel back next Friday at 2NURFM.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. Topics range from gardening to health, well-being, pet care, and travel. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.